begin our service this morning with the lighting of the Advent wreath, and we're blessed to have the Knowles family lead us in that.
We gather around the Advent wreath today knowing that we are not perfect, that we all make mistakes and do bad things. Only Jesus obeyed God fully. He helps us to live as God wants us to live, and He gives us His peace.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and for everyone.
Jesus the Christ is your hope.
No, our.
Our hope.
Jesus the Christ is our hope for peace. The candle stands for the peace that only Christ and His way can bring into our lives.
Okay. Let us pray together what is printed for us in the bulletin. Eternal God, we thank You that through the centuries we have given peace to Your people. During this Advent season, we may discover the peace You have in store for us as we demonstrate Your presence to the sick, the hungry, and the lonely, so that they too might have Your peace in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Think we have any? That's okay. Thank you. You're doing well. Welcome this morning as we begin this second Sunday Advent service. I believe you all can be seated if you wish. It's very good to be here with you again this morning. And it seems as if time is going by so quickly that within a few weeks we're going to have Christmas. And as my wife reminds me, I also have a birthday, and it's one of these birthdays with a zero behind it, and I'm sort of feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling it. But it's so good to be with you this morning. We welcome our visitors. All are welcome here in the house of the Lord, and I would ask that as you pass the friendship pad down through your pew, down through your aisle, that you sign it. And if you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you here this morning. We have a number of announcements that are in your bulletin. Some prayer concerns, and we'll have prayers of the people just a little bit later, but Mackenzie Thompson is having surgery on December the 13th. And today is the last day for Pete and Billy Sigmund to attend Cook's for a while since they're moving to Charleston, South Carolina next weekend. Going to miss you folks very much. However, Charleston is an awesome place. to live and to visit, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. We also have Pam Crosby, who's going to have rotator cuff surgery, and she just had that actually Friday, December the 6th. So let's keep Pam and all those on the prayer list in our prayers. We have right after worship today a children and youth practice for get together. And there's going to be, see the newsletter for a complete play and cantata series of dates and times for practices. There's a combined circle Christmas get-together this Tuesday at the home of Penny at 6:30. Community meal for everyone this Thursday, the 12th from 5:30 to 7. And we have a babysitting afternoon next Saturday, the 14th from 12 to 4. Also ice skating night next Saturday at 5. I tell you what, there's a lot of really good activities going on here. Something to say? Please.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
Just update on next for the babysitting. We're actually not going to have the babysitting, but all children are welcome to come to the fellowship hall, and they're going to do gingerbread making and cookie making. So we will have adults available for that. We just don't have enough youth that are going to be in town that week
okay.
for babysitting.
Okay. Very good. So the children are going to get together and do something I know they're going to dislike, make cookies and all kinds of stuff to eat, and that sounds like a real winner all the way around. Thank you. Angel gifts are due back to the church no later than next Sunday morning, the 15th. That is a tremendous ministry in this community and one that just brightens up Christmas for a lot of needy kids who have very little to nothing. There's church-wide Christmas caroling where everyone is invited on December the 22nd, right after worship. And the Christmas Eve worship service, obviously, is on the 24th. It's going to be at 5 p.m. All kinds of activities coming up here during Advent, which says a lot about the outreach of this church. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Okay, so joint meeting of deacons and elders this evening in Fellowship Hall at 6:30. Very good. All right. Very good. So let us now focus on our reliance on God with our psalm reading, Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Mr. Ethan is going to lead us in that.
Please turn to page 539 in your pew Bible. Today I will be reading Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield
I call the Lord, who is worthy in praise. I am safe from my enemies. This is the Lord, word of God and people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we acknowledge that our sins are too great to carry. We acknowledge that they are so real that they cannot be hid. By your grace and love, allow us now to bring to us our prayers of repentance from contrite hearts. O Lord our God, you call us to joyful service in living our faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. He commands us to love you, love one another, and to give of ourselves in service to his church. Forgive us for being consumed by our lives, our wants and needs, and not living in joyful discipleship. Forgive us for wanting to be recognized and honored, even when you teach us to be humble. Grant us childlike trust as we seek to embrace your purpose for our lives. Have mercy on us as we come to you in faith with repentant hearts, praying for pardon in the name of your Son, the Christ. Let us each now go silently unto God with what is on our hearts. Lord, hear these prayers we render through Jesus Christ our Lord unto you. Amen. All who are baptized in Jesus Christ and believe in him with repentant hearts, we know from his sacrifice, from his promises, that our sins are forgiven. We are washed clean and made whole in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now affirm our faith, and I ask you, Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
seated.
Morning. Morning, Tom. I ask over and over again, if I'm going to have to read, I want Jesus wept. But I never get that.
I think you ought to preach today, Jesus.
Have a seat. We're ready. Y'all going home? What's for lunch? A little more warning, please. I might need 10 or 15 minutes to prepare. Oh, now that that's done, our Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 681. Thank you for the faith you had in me. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. I believe it's time for our children and youth to come forward. Now, you all who have known me for a long time know that my definition of youth is anyone under the age of 90. So if you wish to come forward, the Spirit moves you, you come on down.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes? Okay. Hi. Welcome. Good morning, everybody. So today we're going to hear a lot about a special announcement. So what are some special announcements that you may have heard before? Yes? Okay, a special announcement from whom? Mom says, I have an announcement. We're going to the beach. That sounds pretty exciting. Christmas is coming. Perfect. That's a pretty exciting announcement, right? And that leads to a lot of preparation once we know of the coming. The same thing, if you learn that your family is going to go to the beach, you're going to start preparing for that, right? So what about if at school they say, I have a special announcement? And they are over the loudspeaker so everybody in the school can hear, right? You're going to listen up and say and wonder what's happening. Or maybe on the newspaper or in the newspaper or on the news channel. Yes?
My friend had a special announcement. His parents were getting a divorce.
Wow. Sometimes announcements can be not happy, right? Sometimes announcements can be of not great news, right? But yet an announcement still that we all have to deal with and prepare for. So an announcement that we want to talk about is when an angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to a child, and not just any child, but Jesus. Can you imagine? She didn't have any idea that this was coming, and all of a sudden she received this amazing announcement from an angel. What would you do if you got an announcement like that from an angel? What would you do? You would faint? Yeah, that's probably a likely thing to happen for sure. Okay, so you would go make a big announcement that this had happened to you, right? So would you believe the angel?
Yes.
Yes.
No?
Yeah, so Leah said if an angel came all the way from heaven, then you would have to believe, right?
I even think the angel tried to frighten
me. Okay, all right, well, maybe. But I'm going to go with Leah, that if an angel comes all the way from heaven to visit you, you probably want to listen up And you probably want to figure out what you need to do to either receive or to prepare or to do whatever this angel is asking you to do, right? Because it's probably from God. No? Well, what we're asked to do in the Bible is to be a servant of God and to accept whatever it is that the angel is asking you to do, whatever God is asking you to do. You would do God. Okay, but God, the angel is a messenger of God.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you might need a little bit more convincing, but I would say you would probably get what you needed to feel confident in doing what God's asking you to do, right? We can do this, right? We're like, I don't believe that. I don't want to do this. Are you for real? This happens in real life. So what we're really looking for is something that hits us in a way that we know that it is God's word. So I bet you would get it. I'm not sure. Do you think you would know? You probably have to have faith, right? And trust that God's doing it for the right reasons.
I can tell by looking in
faith. Okay, very good. So you get a gut feeling, right? You know.
That's how I know that God's trying to tell me something.
Awesome. So in this season. Yeah. So in this season of Advent, as we're preparing for Jesus, preparing for the birth of the Son of God, let us really think about how we can be open to receiving and listening for what God is asking us to do. Because there's always something He's asking us to do. And we're just as special as Mary. So you never know what kind of big thing He wants us to do. So let's just pray, close our eyes and pray together, okay? Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you so much that we're your children. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. And give us faith to know when you're calling us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Gospel reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Hear again the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer. O Lord, our God, inspire and enable us to be servants faithful in word and deed. You give us your holy word and your spirit to reveal the truth of Jesus Christ. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we may embrace living the life your Son calls us to in faith, humility, and obedience. Amen. Well, Advent is a time of joy, a time when we celebrate the steadfast faithfulness and love of God in the gift of His Son. I think Jesus is the ultimate Christmas gift, providing forgiveness and salvation we do not deserve, but God gives freely by His grace. Advent is certainly a time to focus on the Christ child. And I would say filter out all the noise in our society with our obsession at Christmas, with all the material things we see on TV. We get inundated with all of these newspaper clippings and ads, all this stuff that society says we need to have. The only thing we really need to have is God's Son, Jesus Christ. So one of the best gifts we can give Jesus, though, in this time, is our faithful service and commitment to do God's work. So what does it mean to be chosen by God for a specific purpose? It is a calling, and it is a blessing that often involves sacrifice and suffering. This is evident when we read in the Bible all the stories of the prophets. We read about Mary, who is going to give birth to the Son of God. And certainly it's of Jesus, all of whom are servants of God. Now, in the Old Testament, those chosen as prophets really are not highly learned and cultured men. There is nothing seemingly unique or special about them. They are men who work the land. In Hebrew, they're called ha'aretz, meaning people who work by the sweat of their brow and by the strength of their hands and arms and legs. They're people of the land, the common people. But in God's eyes, they are special, even though looking at these men who are chosen as prophets, you'd say there's nothing really special or unique about them. Each of them, when God calls, seems to be reluctant initially to answer the call. Each of them has doubts about their worthiness and ability to do what God says He wants them to do. But God assures those He chooses that when they accept the call, the Holy Spirit will come upon them and instruct them in everything they need to say and do. God has their backs. I think one case study in serving God is my favorite early prophet, Moses, and his reaction to God in the burning bush when God says to him, "Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And what's Moses' immediate reaction? "Who, me? Who am I to tell Pharaoh to let anybody go? I'm not going to know what to say. I'm not going to know what to do. Isn't there anybody else around who can just go and take care of this?" And of course, God doesn't accept all these excuses. He basically demands that Moses go. And finally, when Moses figures it out, he obviously does go and fulfill God's word and will. But here's the thing. For the rest of his life, and it's a long life, Moses is painfully caught in the middle between... Okay. Apparently I have static. So Moses is painfully caught in the middle between a rebellious, unfaithful, disobedient, and incorrigible people and the word and will of Almighty God. And it's a painful life that he has for the rest of his days. So I think the message is, when you're a prophet or when you're called, responding to God's call doesn't necessarily mean there won't be hard times involved in following God's way. Now, 500 years before the birth of Christ, as Brother James just read, the prophet Isaiah speaks of this wonderful prophecy from God on his covenant with the house of David. "The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel," which in Hebrew means God is with us. So God reaches out, as you know in our New Testament reading, through the angel Gabriel to Mary, who's a young teenage girl who will fulfill God's covenant plan for humanity. I tell you, folks, by the standards of her day, she is not unique or special. Mary appears to be not unique or special because she isn't of noble birth. Her family isn't wealthy. They don't have a lot of land and property. They are Haaretz, people of the land. She's been raised, though, to be a good wife and mother and homemaker. Mary is somewhere around 16 years of age, which is the customary age at that time for a young woman to get married. She's recently engaged to a man named Joseph, who is well regarded in the community. And like any engaged woman, she and her parents, particularly her mom, are planning the wedding. They're planning all the preparation. They're planning with the rabbi in the synagogue, the service, all the things that an engaged young woman looks forward to doing. She dreams of a new chapter in her life with her future husband, who is descended through the house of David. But in the meantime, she's going to have limited contact with Joseph. In that age and time, there are no dates with Joseph. There are no private, intimate meetings. There are no dates, and she will remain a virgin until her wedding day. These are her plans. These are her family expectations, the customs of society, and it is the word of God, and that's how she's going to live. But she is special and unique to God, I think, because he has a calling and a plan for her. He looks deeply within her and knows that she is the right one. So Gabriel suddenly appears to Mary and tells her she's singled out among all the women of all the world for all the time for a special blessing and purpose. He greets her as highly favored one. Blessed are you among women. And you can imagine with just this person, this being showing up out of thin air, that she is in shock and probably in fear. So Gabriel tries to reassure her, tries to calm her, saying, don't worry about anything. You found favor with God. And I'm thinking in that moment, she's thinking, what is this guy talking about? Who am I to be favored by God? And then Gabriel adds to her confusion when he tells her that if she accepts God's will and God's call, that she become pregnant, the implication is going to be immediately. I mean, like right now. She'll bear a son, and his name will be Yeshua. We call him Jesus, the one who comes to save. The covenant of the Messiah will be enacted by the Holy Spirit and Mary, fulfilled by her son, the Christ. Stunned, Mary, I don't think, doubts what the angel is saying, but she can't quite get her head around it. And ladies, I think she asked Gabriel a really good question, don't you think? Gabriel, I've never had sex. How am I going to have a baby? Right? Gabriel reassures her nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. If she agrees, Mary faces a sobering, painful reality. And I think this pretty quickly went through her mind. All of her hopes and plans of a happy marriage and future are at risk. By becoming pregnant without marriage, she may be condemned by her father and Joseph. If she is accused and her guilt is verified in the synagogue, then Jewish law prescribes stoning by death, or death by stoning. Terrible way to die. If she escapes punishment, Joseph may still condemn her, and then she will face ostracism in her community by being shunned for the rest of her life. Either way, it doesn't look like a very good decision, you know, to accept God's call. And I think weighing this bleak future and thinking about all of her dreams and hopes of this future life, she could have answered like Moses and all the boys in the Old Testament when God came calling, saying, why me? Isn't there any other woman around who would do equally as well? Can't you let this cup pass me by? I have all these plans, all these hopes, all these dreams. Why me? But she doesn't do that, does she? Mary responds with a deep and abiding faith for God's will, for her life and for her firstborn son. And she simply says, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. That takes a courageous, moral woman to do that. I think the reason God chooses Mary is because he knows deeply in her heart that she will not let any of her fears or wants for the present or the future get in her way of service to him. And she demonstrates her characteristics of strength and character, courage and faithfulness by holding up her hand and saying, "I will." And I think Mary responds to his call because she trusts God. Her faith gives her the moral courage to confront her family, confront her father, confront Joseph, and the community with a decision and truth that they may readily condemn. So Mary's character is revealed here in Luke chapter 1, and the character of Joseph in Matthew 1, 18 to 20. But you know, in the four Gospels, we hear a lot about Mary. But what about Joseph? We don't hear a whole lot about him, do we? He seems like the forgotten man in many ways. But Joseph's integrity, goodness, and faith shine through in this scripture reading. Joseph is looking forward to his marriage to Mary. He deeply loves her. She's a young woman of faith, integrity, and high morals. And when Mary tells him she is pregnant by the will of God through the Holy Spirit, though, fellas, Joseph is deeply troubled, as you might imagine. Joseph decides he's not going to publicly condemn her. He still loves her, but takes the only step he knows to protect her from judgment, public censure, and possibly death. He will end their engagement. We read that in Matthew 1, 18 and 20. But before he can act, Gabriel appears to him and says, "Hey, everything's okay. You're supposed to marry Mary. This is by the will of God. She has not been with another man. She loves you. Go forward according to God's will." And Joseph accepts her calling, but then accepts his calling. Because Joseph is chosen among all men in the world to serve God by being responsible for raising Jesus as his earthly father. Joseph is going to show Jesus in his early years growing up what it means to be a man. I don't think either Joseph or Mary really understand the sacrifice Jesus makes later by giving up all honor, glory, and majesty at the side of God in heaven to be born in humility among the common people. Joseph will not live to see Jesus begin his ministry and become the ultimate servant of God. But in his ministry, Jesus faithfully witnesses to the grace, love, and truth of God, sacrificing himself for the redemption and salvation of humanity, for you and for me. To serve God in you and me, he willingly pays the price of being attacked, ridiculed, humiliated, scorned, and put to death. The future, the Son of God, to be born in 2 weeks as we celebrate, will sacrifice everything for you and me. I wonder why at Christmas time we don't think more about what we will sacrifice for him. Mary also pays a high price for her decision to serve as the mother of the Son of God. She raises her firstborn, beloved son, and must watch as he experiences a ministry being threatened and attacked for the truth he lives and he teaches. Mary is helpless as her son is arrested and mercilessly tortured by the Romans. She watches her son die the worst death the Romans can conceive, of suffocating to death on the cross. Mary stands powerless at the foot of the cross, feeling, we read, as if a sword is piercing her heart. There's suffering and sacrifice often in serving God. Sacrifice and suffering for Christ has been part of the Christian life, the Christian tradition, since the ascension of Christ. In every generation, many have been challenged to stand up for Jesus. I was reading a case about this in 1934 when Adolf Hitler summoned German church leaders to a meeting to chastise them for not enthusiastically supporting Nazism and his election as chancellor. At least they had the courage to oppose. After Hitler's angry tirade, Pastor Martin Niemöller speaks about his concern for the welfare of the church and the German people. And Hitler immediately, with anger, snaps back, "You concern yourself to the truth, I'll take care of the German people." Pastor Niemöller bravely replies, "You said that you will take care of the German people, but we too, as Christians and churchmen, have a responsibility toward the German people. That responsibility was entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone else in this world has the power to take it from us." Hitler listens in stunned silence because no one has ever had the courage to talk to him like that. He's not used to this kind of moral courage. But later that night, Pastor Niemöller's church is firebombed and destroyed. He is arrested that evening and taken to prison. And as a prison guard comes to his cell and leads him up a flight of stairs to a courtroom to be tried and obviously convicted, he hears a whisper behind him from his guard reciting Proverbs 18, verse 10. And here's what Niemöller heard. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Immediately his fears fall away, and the power of God's word sustains him in his calling, trial, and years in the concentration camp. Folks, we too will face moments of truth when God confronts us to live our faith in ways challenging, uncomfortable, and unpopular. Our courage and faith will be put to the test. How will we respond? Will we bob and weave, dodge and run, when the Holy Spirit offers us the opportunity to serve in ways requiring sacrifice? Or will we, like Mary, serve God with peace, humility, and joy, simply saying, "Here I am, your servant"? You know, while we neither worship nor pray to Mary, we honor her as the mother of the Son of God. We lift up Mary for her virtue and sacrificial faith and service to God. She provides each of us a powerful testimony of what it means to be a true servant of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's in their name that we say, Amen. Amen. Let us now go to the Lord with prayers of the people. Merciful God, you bear the pain of the world. Look with compassion on those on the sick list and others we know who are ill, especially those who are under hospice and hospital care. Cheer all who are ill in body and spirit, and bring healing power to them as your sign of grace and love. Stand with those who grieve over the loss of one dearly loved, particularly, Lord, all those who die through violence. Our three brave servicemen who died in Florida at the hands of a terrorist. The three brave police officers who died in violence within the past several days in our country. All those that we know who have passed over to the heavenly kingdom. Let us recognize that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from your love, even in the midst of the darkest times in our life. Direct our elected leaders who make, administer, and judge our laws to be guided by your wisdom. And Lord, please help them to place the needs of your country and our citizens as their highest priority. Protect our military, police, and other public servants, and make us grateful for their sacrifices in our behalf. Enable us and guide us to live in the light of your truth. And now, Lord, we ask that you hear these prayers of the people that we silently lift up unto you. Hear these, our prayers that we lift to you from our heart, O Lord. Enable us to be true servants of God. Amen. Jesus tells us to render unto God the things that are God's: your faith and devotion, your time, your talent, your tithes. Freely, all of us have received many blessings. Freely give. Join me in our prayer. Heavenly Father, You give of us freely of your many blessings, which we too often overlook and take as our due. Send us your Spirit as our guide to devote quality time to serving you and our neighbor, showing your love and care. Bless the time we dedicate to you and the financial gifts we offer to honor and glorify you through Crooks Church. Inspire within each of us a servant's heart to walk in the footsteps of your Son, the Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, this is the joy people of God. They shall come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who invites all who believe in him to partake of the meal which he has prepared. Remembering that access to this table is not a right conferred upon the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come to him in faith, repentance, and love. In seeking Christ in this sacrament, we have confessed our sins and brokenness. We are to continue to seek reconciliation with God and our neighbor, and we are to put our faith in Jesus Christ for cleansing and renewal. With great thanksgiving, we lift our voices unto the Lord. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. To lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, won for us victory over death, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life and is with us always, as he promised. We praise you that Christ now reigns in glory and will come again to make all things new. As we partake of the promise of the good news proclaimed by your Son, we ask your blessing on these elements symbolizing the body and blood of the risen Christ. And now with confidence as children of God, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal and arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, remember me. And every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until He comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As the elements are distributed, I ask you to hold them so that we all may partake of the bread and then the wine as one family in Christ. You will notice as the basket comes around with the bread, there's a little cup in here. That is a gluten-free cup with little wafers in it that you may choose to take. And let us always remember on this very sacred day that we celebrate the Lord's Supper of the sacrifice, the blood that it took for this to be given to you. I now ask the serving elders to please come forward. Take and eat, the body of Christ broken for you.
this with your salvation and joy for all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A final hymn, number 65. God is coming on down great to Jesus Christ be with you now as you depart this place and be with you.